Shalom.
Shalom.
That sounds so good. let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're your children, and we gather around you tonight, Lord, waiting to hear what you have to tell us. Our ears are open, Father. Our minds are open. Our hearts are open. We're waiting for you to speak to us, Father. And Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the word that you will give us tonight. Father, may it be a word that dwells within us, that grows within us, that causes us to be like you, Father. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, make sure I just realized maybe, can everyone hear me well? Do I speak loud enough as far as, okay, good. I know Ish can make adjustments if need be. That's the long title, Kindness, Love in Action, Putting It in Practice. The short title is Kindness Part 2. So that's it. A little statement here about Solomon. King Solomon declared a little girl in Sunday school is my favorite character in the Bible. He was kind to ladies and animals. The startled teacher asked, "Who told you that?" "Nobody told me. I read it myself," asserted the little girl. "It says Solomon kept 700 wives and 300 porcupines." Okay, yeah. Whatever you read, right? Sometimes it seems like. By the way, I have a mohawk. It's not intentional. For some reason, my short hair just wants to stand here. So, I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. So I hope that don't distract from your listening to God's word tonight, but that's kind of where it is tonight. We'll go back to our verse, which was Proverbs 31:26. Okay? And I'm going to read it again out of the Amplified Classic and the Sipakant, if that's the way it's pronounced. "She opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue, giving counsel and instructions." And that was Amplified. This Amplified Classic reads almost the same. "She opens her mouth in skillful and godly wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness, giving counsel and instructions." And the Septuagint reads, "But she opens her mouth wisely and according to law." Okay. Now, this study could have been done based on speech, kindness, how we talk. But sometimes that's easy for us to do. We can actually speak kind words. Be thinking, if I can get that guy around the neck, I'm going to choke him to death. Okay? So, I mean, our words sometimes can come out kind, but our attitudes and our thoughts may not necessarily be kind. So we're going to talk about kindness in action, okay, or love in action. A definition of kindness: the steadfast love that maintains relationships through gracious aid in times of need. Okay, I shared it last Wednesday. Or the old saying, a friend in need is a friend indeed, okay? Also notice that in dictionary definitions of kindness, it's a noun. But in reality of what we're seeing here, it's an action word, okay? And then last week, I ended the study with kindness is your love in action to another person, okay? So that's where we're at. Now, the results of this love in action, okay, of kindness, the believer through the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us, directs us, and gives us the power, okay, to really put love in action in a way that God, it is godly. It's the way God puts love in action. But the Holy Spirit keeps the righteousness of the law. The believer, through the Holy Spirit, keeps the righteousness of law, following the principles of love, which is the fulfillment of the law. Okay? The kindness of God is what motivates the belief, our kindness. Okay, the kindness of God is what motivates our kindness. I mean, think about it. God's kindness is the reason we have life. Right? I mean, he showed his kindness in that we were sinners and hateful to him. He still sent his son to die for us. Okay, so that should be our motivation there. That kindness he has shown to us, everyone. For instance, Luke 6:35 reads, "But love your enemies, okay, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons or daughters of the Most High, because He is kind and grateful. He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked." Okay, so our actions, our love and action, is we are now like sons and daughters of the Most High. We are demonstrating who we really are. Okay? And Galatians 6:9-10. "Let us not become weary in doing good, okay? For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Okay? Now, remember, like a farmer can grow weary planting a crop. And if he doesn't finish planting the crop, he's not going to grow much of a harvest from it. He's not going to reap much of it, okay? So, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers, our brothers and sisters especially. I mean, Jesus said, "They will know you are my disciple by what? By the way you love each other." Right? That's what Jesus said. All right. 1 Peter 3:9. "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but," that's that big word again, "with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." Okay? So it's easy for us sometimes to speak kindly to somebody, but we're thinking in our mind, if I can just get my hand around that person's neck, I'll take care of them forever. They'll have no problems. Okay, but that's not what it is. That's not the way we're supposed to respond. Okay, we're responding with blessings to someone who is against us. A person. I'm not talking about Satan. Okay, Satan's defeated. We don't bless him with nothing. He gets nothing, okay? But our enemy is Satan, not the person next door to us. Okay? So, this is some words about, you know, putting this into practice. This is what we want to do, okay? And some of the results of that, how we do it, how we're demonstrating ourselves, who we are relaying to other people, who we are, who we're showing Christ, we're showing God, okay? Now, the rest of the time, we're going to look at examples. Talked about kindness. Now let's look at what some examples are of kindness in the Bible. Okay? Whoops. Excuse me. Because what good is it to know something if you don't know how to use it? It's not as much benefit to you. Okay, so we're going to look at examples. The first example we're going to look at is in Joshua 2:4-16. And I don't have these verses up because there's a lot of them, okay? And I don't know if I get through all the examples or not. But this example is Rahab and the spies. Are most of you familiar with that event in history? Okay, I don't want to call it a story because sometimes story can be fiction or nonfiction. So I want to call it an event. It's an event in history. Rahab and the spies. Remember, Joshua sent spies into Jericho, spied out, and they went in Rahab's house. She hid them, right, from the soldiers that came looking for them, and she also helped them escape. Okay, so this is the story. Now, in Joshua 2:9, she says, she said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, talking about the citizens of Jericho, okay, and all the surrounding areas, so that all who live in the country are melting in fear because of you. Okay, Rahab said this, Rahab, I know, we know your God is great, and we're afraid. I'm afraid, okay? So here Rahab has hidden the soldiers. She's hidden the spies. She's lied to the soldiers, okay? She's getting ready to help. She helps them escape out of the town, and they make a promise to her that, you know, if you will tie this on your window, and everybody in this house will be saved. We won't kill you if you're in the house. If you're not in the house, you're open game for us. But if you're in this house, then you were saved, okay? So in this event, Joshua 2:11 reads, for the last part of Joshua 2:11, it reads, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. That's Rahab's statement of faith, if you will, if you want to say it. Her statement of faith. God is God in heaven and on earth. So Rahab had an experience here with the spies. Okay? As a result of that, she was able to show kindness to the spies because she put them up, she lied for them, and she helped them escape. Okay? Hey, that's what it was. I mean, that's what really happened there, okay? And she also showed kindness to her family because in her action there of kindness to those spies, her family was able to come in with her and not be killed when the Israelites attacked Jericho. So there is some real kindness. I'm not saying that we should lie to show kindness, okay? I'm not saying that. But Rahab experienced who God was in her life. And a result of that was her kindness to these two spies, or these I think it was two spies that were sent there, okay? And that's how God works in us. We have experienced God's kindness, so we can show kindness to others, okay? Now, it doesn't become tricky. Do you lie? Well, you're not supposed to lie. But, you know, Rahab did she took them in. I think she fed them a meal and everything, too. I think she actually was hostess to them, okay? And she hid them, and she helped them escape. She actually put herself in the line in front of them, okay? Because these soldiers could have very they knew her reputation of what she was. And in society at that point in time, there was no value. She had no value at all. But she found God, and God gave her value, okay? And she responded in that finding of God in the kindness to the spies. Okay, so helping people, taking care of them, okay, doing something that puts yourself in a position where you may not be comfortable, okay, in order to help them, help someone, to show that kindness. Does that seem like an example of some activity that you could take with you and use in kindness? Okay, that's what I'm wanting you to hear in these examples, like things that you can take back with you. You may not hear something in every example, but hopefully there'll be something in the example, at least one example that you can take with you and go out. Okay, the next one is David, Abigail, and Nabal. Are you familiar with that story? Okay, Nabal was a very rich guy. And David and his men were all out hiding from Saul still. David wasn't king yet. He was still hiding, okay? And they were in the same area where Nabal's shepherds were taking care of the sheep. Well, David was kind of watching over the shepherds. He didn't attack them. He didn't take anything from them. He protected them. His men did okay. And then in the harvest time, and now it's harvest time. So David's kind of expecting something in return for that protection. Well, David sends some of his men to Nabal, and Nabal says, huh, who are you? You're nothing to me. Get out of here. I ain't giving you nothing. Why should I give you anything? Okay? And they go back and tell David, and do you remember what David does? He gets angry, don't he? How angry does he get? He's getting ready to shed some blood. Somebody, I'm going to take this person and choke them. Somebody's going to suffer because of what we did for them, and they've just disregarded us altogether, okay? And then the servants, they bought servants, went to Abigail and said, hey, look, your master did this terrible thing to David's men. David's men were great and kind. They were kind to us. And he threw them out, basically, without anything. And I'm afraid David's going to come back here and kill us all. And they were right. So what does Abigail do? She loads up a bunch of donkeys with all kind of breads and fruits and everything. And she goes out and meets David, right? Okay? She's all loaded up here with kindness. She's all loaded up with kindness, ready to make sure that she's able to meet David in a way that he can appreciate. Okay? And she meets him. She offers him all the food and everything. And when she does, David's heart breaks. He realizes, whoa, this is wrong. What I was going to do was wrong. My hatred, my anger was wrong. My desire to kill Nabal was wrong. Now, you know what Nabal means, right? Foolish. Nabal, he's foolish. Foolish. Okay, and his actions, you can kind of see, lives up to his name. Okay? So, in 1 Samuel 13, 14, it reads, this is about David, okay? This is Saul speaking to Saul. This is Samuel speaking to Saul about David, okay? But your kingdom, Saul's kingdom, okay, will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. And then in Samuel 16, 12 through 13, where this is where Samuel's gone over to David's family. I can't remember David's father's name. To look for the one to be anointed king. So he sent and had him brought in, meaning David. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. And then Samuel went to Ramah. Okay. So here, those verses explain where David is. David is the anointed one. And I'm sorry, I'm making so much noise. But David is the anointed one. He is the man after God's own heart. That's what God says. I'm looking for a man after my own heart. Okay, so this is David. This is David. And then David got angry. He's going to go kill this guy. That's not a man after God's own heart right there. Okay, he missed it. And then now we go to 1 Samuel 25, verse 3. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman. But her husband, a Calebite, was surly and mean in his dealings. Okay, so that's the two people there. First of all, in this event, the first kindness we can see in this is David and his men's kindness to the servants of Nabal. They protected them. They didn't rob them. They didn't take away anything. They actually acted as guardians around them. Okay. Then we see Abigail. We see her kindness towards Nabal's household. Okay? Because she's the one that loads up all the donkeys with all the good kindness and good foods and everything and goes out and meets David. She puts herself in a position of being the one to face the fury of David. Just like Rahab did. Yes. She put herself in the position of facing David's fury. Okay? So Abigail had shown kindness to Nabal's household by going out to David with the goods, okay? She also showed kindness to David by presenting to him what her husband wouldn't give him. some of the fruits of what that household had taken in. Okay? All right? Okay? David repented, if you will, of his anger. Okay? He turned away from it. He said it was wrong. So he actually showed kindness to Abigail and Nabal's household and to Nabal. He did not go kill him. He repented and said, okay, I won't go kill him. It's not what I need to do. So he showed kindness there. His fury turned away. Now, there's another person here that shows kindness. Remember in this story, Abigail says, David, if you go out there and kill this man, you're setting yourself up for some real bad problems when you become king. Who wants to be a king? Who wants to serve a king that's going to get angry because of something simple like this and have blood on his hands? That was God's way of showing David's kindness, in allowing him to repent from what he was going to do. Okay? Now, there's one person here in this event that did not show kindness. Anybody guess who it was? Yes, he did not. He was totally selfish. It was all his, and he ain't getting rid of none of it. He's going to enjoy it all. I don't care what anybody else says. I have authority. I'm power. I'm do this. I got the money. So I ain't going to show nobody nothing except myself. Okay. So there is an example of unkindness. Okay. Again, I hope you see in this example how Abigail put herself in a position of danger, if you will, just like Rahab did, in order to show kindness to someone. And she showed kindness by doing what her husband would not do, and that was she took some of the goods and gave to David. And the result of that kindness was that David repented. He did not kill. He actually, later on, Nabal hears about this and gets sick and dies. Okay? And then David takes Abigail as a wife. Okay? Okay, so hopefully you see something out of that example where you can use for kindness. Okay? Next one is Ruth and Boaz. Are you familiar with the event of Ruth and Boaz, right? Okay, all right. This is Naomi, Ruth, and another sister, another daughter-in-law, I forget what the daughter-in-law. They their husbands die, they come back into the land of Judah, or into Israel. And the one daughter-in-law says, I'm going to go back. Ruth says, I'm going to stay with you, Naomi. Okay, she says, matter of fact, in Ruth 1:16, it says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Okay? Another situation where someone decided to put their faith in God. Okay? Ruth did. Then in 2:1, now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side from the clan of Elimelech, a man of standing. Okay, whose name was Boaz, a man of standing. Okay, means that he was well known in the community for different reasons. Okay, he wasn't a slouch. He was well known. You could say a lot of different things about him. I mean, if you look at what happens here in the event with Ruth, you probably figure he's a man of generosity. You figure he's a man of gentleness, of kindness, of concern, of compassion, all of these characteristics that you would hope that people would see in us as children of God. Okay? I can't say that I do that 100% of the time because I don't, unfortunately. But in this event here, Boaz shows kindness to Ruth and Naomi because Boaz says, all right, Ruth, yeah, you come and glean my fields, okay? And he goes over here to the workers and says, hey, look, y'all make sure you drop some stuff in the ground here so that she has plenty to get. And don't make fun of her if she picks up the wrong stuff either, okay? Y'all treat her with respect. Treat her with kindness. Treat her with generosity because I'm your master and I am generous, Okay, I'm a man of good standing, okay? So treat her that way. And in doing that, he was also show kindness to Naomi because Ruth gathered enough of the wheat to go home and have bread for both of them, have a meal for both of them, okay? And that's where Ruth also showed kindness to Naomi because she went out gleaning the fields, okay, in Boaz's field. She brought the food back. She made the meal for both of them. She didn't make the meal and say, I went and did all the work. You just stay away. You ain't going to get none of this. It's all mine. She didn't do that, okay? She showed kindness, okay? And in this case, you know, you don't see this, but Ruth put herself in a position of danger. Think about it. Would you go out into somebody that you didn't know's field with a bunch of guys working the field? A young lady? Well, she put herself in a position of danger there because she had no idea. I mean, she really didn't know. Naomi knew Boaz, but you know, you don't know what these workers, you don't know, you never know what somebody may do or not do, okay? And, you know, so she again, another example where someone stepped up and said, I will put myself in a position of maybe danger or whatever in order to help someone, to help myself and also to help someone else in this case, okay? And we know what happens here. Boaz makes a deal with another relative, which is closer, to get Ruth. He does a little bit of horse trading. Very good horse trading in there. You know, he makes, if you read the events, he makes some real good statements to make the other guy say, yeah, no, I don't want her. I don't want her. I'll pass on her. Yeah. Too much cost here on this. And, of course, these are all in the line of Jesus Christ, right? Rahab, Boaz, Ruth, they're all in this line, okay? So I hope you see there where, again, someone stepped out, put themselves in a position where it was uncomfortable, might have been harm, work, effort, in order to demonstrate a kindness to themselves, and to someone else, not to themselves, but demonstrate a kindness to someone. Boaz also took a chance. I mean, think about this. He tells his workers, you know, make sure you leave some extra grain on the ground there. Now, you know, a businessman, that might be, you're taking a little bit out of profit there. He's also saying he has a good relationship with his workers, and his workers ain't going to come back and pick it up themselves. He had honest men that worked for him. Okay? All right. Is this good? I mean, are you picking up some things out of this that's going to be helpful for you? Okay. Next one, we get into the New Testament, and this one's kind of short. Okay, but this is the centurion and his servant and Jesus. Do you remember that event? Centurion had a servant that he dearly loved. The servant was very important to him. Okay, but his servant got sick, so he sent someone out to get Jesus. To tell Jesus, hey, will you come over here and heal my servant? And you know, you remember what happens. On the way there, the centurion says, no, you don't have to come into my house. You stop. Just order it, and he'll be well. You don't have to come in and touch him, okay? And Jesus says, wow, I've never seen such faith. Woo, not anywhere in Israel have I seen this kind of faith, okay? So, and of course, as that happens, The centurion finds out that his servant gets well at the same time, okay? So here, the centurion showed kindness to his servant, okay? Now, this is a man of authority. Centurion is a pretty high-ranking officer in the military, okay? And here he is, he has a servant. And he shows kindness to his servant. So position of a person is not important in showing kindness. Whether you're here and showing kindness to someone that's in a different lower position than you, if you will, okay, or if you're in a low position and someone's showing it to you, it doesn't matter. If you're the one getting, if someone up here, a higher position, if you will, is showing you, then accept it. Okay, don't put it off because of that. And if you're here and you can give it kindness to someone that's underneath you, if you will, in a job or whatever, then give it. Okay. Okay, now think about this. This is a centurion. This is a Roman soldier. And who does he send for? A Jewish man to come heal his servant. He put himself in a position of being made fun of, maybe even getting locked out of his position. He put himself in a dangerous position also to show kindness to his servant. Okay. He also showed kindness to Jesus by saying, Jesus, I understand your authority. I understand authority. And you don't have to come here. You don't have to make the trip all the way here. I believe that what you say will happen no matter where you're at. Well, and that's the reason Jesus says, wow, what faith. I've never seen this before. Okay? Don't you think Jesus accepted that kindness from the centurion? I think he did. And then Jesus showed his kindness in healing the servant. Okay? He also showed his kindness in being obedient to what the centurion asked him to do. You know, you don't have to come into my house. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. You don't have to. Okay? So Jesus showed his kindness in being respectful of what the centurion asked for too. Okay? So hopefully you see in this position, in this particular event, your political position, your economic position makes no difference as far as kindness, loving action is concerned. Okay? Now, before I get to these others, I want to talk about Tabitha. Very short little verse about her in Acts, Tabitha. Okay? She made quilts for the poor. I think it was quilts or clothing. I forget which one it was. Dorcas, yeah. Yeah, also known as Dorcas. Dorcas. Yes, Dorcas. Yeah, D-O-R-C-A-S. Okay. But she was the one in Joppa, is where she lived, and she took care of the poor. That was her kindness. Her kindness was actually getting out in the community with the ones who needed help. A friend in need is a friend indeed. She actually got out in the community with the poor and provided the needs for them. Okay? It's a very short event. Okay, we don't have very much background on it. Okay. All we know is that she had the means and she made sure that the means got out to other people in her kindness. Another one here. This is Paul. This is a very short one also. Paul is on the ship. And they're taking him to Rome. I think that's where he's going this time. But they have a storm come up. And some of the people on the ship want to jump ship. And Paul says to the guards, if God's already told me if we all stay together, we're all going to live. But if anybody gets off, we ain't going to live. So he told his Roman guard that. And the Roman guard made sure everybody stayed together. Okay, the ship wrecked. But they all floated or made it up to this island of Malta, okay? And when they got to the island, you know, you're coming out of stormy, cold water, right? You're wet, you're cold. You don't know where you're at. You have no idea what's going to happen to you, okay? But the islanders, the people on the island there, they showed kindness by bringing them in, putting them in front of a fire, so they get it warmed up, offering them some food. In other words, being hospitable to them, opening up what they have to these people who they have no idea who they are. Okay? So they showed kindness to Paul and the other people on the ship there. Okay? So even as we travel, even as we're going places, even as somebody may not want to be with us, or maybe somebody doesn't want to enjoy the kindness we may receive, we can still give that kindness. And we can also still receive that kindness. Okay, so opening our doors are to unknown people, people that we don't know, strangers. Okay. All right. Okay. One more. Then I'm going to give you a personal. Jesus' crucifixion. I found what I think was three acts of kindness along that event. Okay. The first one wasn't necessarily a willing act of kindness, but it was an act of kindness that did occur. Okay, remember Jesus is carrying his cross, he stumbles, And in Mark, it says that they pull a man out of the crowd from Cyrene, and tell him, pick that cross up and carry it. Okay, this man didn't want to do it. He wasn't a volunteer. He was pulled into it. But he did pick it up, and he did carry it for Jesus. So this man did show a kindness to Jesus when Jesus needed it most. When he was physically unable to accomplish what needed to be accomplished as far as carrying that wooden cross up to that hillside. Okay? So sometimes our willingness to be kind is not necessarily easy for us. Okay? Sometimes it's not. But we do it anyway because we've experienced the kindness of God. Jesus had a hard time going up that hill with the cross. Okay. The second one is while Jesus is on the cross. This is in John 19. And Jesus looks down and sees his disciple he loves and his mother. He lifts himself up and says, Mother, this is your son. John, this is your mother. Jesus demonstrated an act of kindness for his mother there. He made sure that her welfare, as far as her life here on this earth was concerned, was taken care of. And he did it under duress, terrible, terrible duress. He is hanging on a cross here. And for him to, according to what the writers say, for him to make that statement, he had to force himself up to breathe in to speak out the word. Again, it wasn't easy, but it's what he wanted to do. Okay? So sometimes kindness is not easy for us to show, but we want to do it. Then another one, I think, here is John again. It's a soldier showing kindness to Jesus. It was prophesied that Jesus would say, I'm thirsty. And Jesus said, I thirst. And the soldier went and got a sponge and with vinegar, if you will, sour wine, and gave it to Jesus to take a sip on. Yes, that was prophecy fulfilled, okay? But it was also an action on by a man to respond to another man's need, to another man's cry of help, okay? So sometimes our kindness is in fulfillment of what God has already laid out for us to do. And we want to do that, okay? Sometimes it's not an act is in our minds, or it comes to our mind, but it's not ours. It comes from God. Now, there are kindnesses that we come up with ourselves, okay? So I hope you see examples of kindness in those three events, okay? Now, I have one I want to share with you, my example. This was a year or so ago. I usually eat lunch at KFC. Okay, I'd finished eating lunch and getting ready to leave, and there was a homeless man came in. He went up to the counter and he asked for a cup of water. Well, something says, go buy him something. Okay, so I did. I went up to the counter and I bought him a $5 meal. $5 fill-up. They're pretty good meals. Okay, I thought it was real good. The people behind the counter said, you know, thank you very much. And then I left. Okay, now, that was an act of kindness, okay? But it was not a complete act of kindness on my part. What I met was a human need and hunger. What I failed to meet was a spiritual need of Christ Jesus. To really have completed, for me to really completed that kindness would have been to go and sit down with the man at the table and share with him Jesus. Okay? Now I'm not saying, I mean, you know, this is something that just occurred to me lately, okay? I didn't think about it then, okay? But sometimes our kindness is not just meeting a physical need. That physical need may be the way we get to introduce ourselves and our Savior to someone. So be aware, be attuned. Let your spirit be open to the leading of the Spirit, but don't shut the door too soon. Don't close off the work that you're doing by the Spirit too soon. Okay? So, I hope. Now, if you go out, there's You can go look up on the internet, acts of kindness. I mean, I printed off 2 pages worth of here. And a lot of them are human acts of kindness. But don't miss out when the opportunity is for you to take it beyond the human act of kindness into the child of God kindness. Okay. I hope you enjoyed this. I hope it was beneficial. Some ideas of kindness and how to put them in action. Thanks.